Please be seated. I guess I've come to the conclusion that out of all the seasons of the church year, Epiphany really gets short shrift. We just don't seem to pay attention to Epiphany like we do to the other parts of the church year. And I guess maybe part of that has to do with the fact that we're still getting over the holidays and all that that involves. And the truth is, Lent's only a few weeks away. And then we've got to get ready for whatever it might be that we're going to give up for the season. And then there's Easter. And then not long after that is summer again. So I'm afraid Epiphany sort of gets stuck in the calendar year at a time when, frankly, we just need a break. We need a break before we get back into the rhythm of the church year. And that really is kind of a shame. Maybe we just don't really understand Epiphany. We know it starts with the wise men. It's got to include Jesus' baptism next. And in there, you're going to have a whole bunch of Jesus stories. But I'm afraid that if we just use Epiphany as a placeholder in the church calendar until we get to the more substantial stuff, I'm afraid we're missing an important part of our lives in Christ. Epiphany is about Christ made manifest, made known, made clear, understood in the world. It's about coming to know who Jesus really is and what it means to be a true follower and in turn, a witness to that identity to the world around us. And in today's gospel, we're actually told how. Our gospel reading this week is literally drenched in the language of looking and seeing. I saw the Spirit, John the Baptist says, after a dove descends on the newly baptized Jesus. I myself have seen and have testified. Look, here is the Lamb of God, he tells the disciples the next day. And so a couple of those disciples start following Jesus, and when he notices, we find the first recorded question that Jesus asks his disciples. What are you looking for? Notice how the disciples don't respond, or don't answer. Maybe they don't even know. That happens a lot when we try to follow Jesus. And rather than giving these followers a roadmap on what discipleship means, Jesus just offers them a simple invitation. Come and see. Come and see. And for me, that's the whole point of this in-between season we call Epiphany. Come and see. Come and see what it's all about. It's not an answer to the disciples' questions about where Jesus is going. Because, you know, the annoying part of this whole Jesus thing is that Jesus seldom answers questions, but rather he poses additional ones or offers invitations. Never coercive invitations, just simple invitations. You see, following him isn't about pat answers, nor is it reserved for us when times are tough. Instead, it's a way of life. And Jesus refuses to be pinned down. He will not fit into any box we try to stick him in. He is always on the move. And at times, he won't be easy to seek or find. The path that leads to understanding only becomes a little bit clearer when we choose to walk on it. And along that path, we are called to look and see and find, not just once, but over and over and over again. It's about developing our willingness to look, to see, to be seen, a willingness to tell what we found, a willingness to get back on the path even when we don't know what we're looking for. The invitation to come and see is an invitation to leave our comfortable vantage points and dare to believe that just maybe we might have been limited and wrong in all our certainties about each other and about God and about the world. To come and see is to approach all of life with a grace-filled curiosity, to believe that we are holy mysteries to each other, worthy of getting to know. To come and see is to enter into the joy of being deeply seen and deeply known, and to have the very best that lies hidden within us called out and called forth. Of course, for we human beings, seeing is always selective. We have choices when it comes to what we look for, what we prioritize, what we name. The selves that we present to the world are layered and messy, and it takes both love and patience to sift through those layers and find what lies at the core. But there is great power in that sifting too. Something healthy, healing, and holy happens to us when we are deeply seen and known and named and accepted. Today's gospel story is not just about our seeing. At its core, it's about what Jesus sees. It's a story about Jesus' way of looking and about what becomes possible when we dare to experience his gaze. Jesus looks at John's disciples and calls forth their hunger, their curiosity, their hope, and their trust. He looks at Simon and he sees Peter, the rock. He looks at us and he sees what lies behind all the screw-ups, the fear, the mixed motives, and the doubts. It is the gracious vision of Jesus. And it's the vision that we're called to practice in this world that too often judges and condemns at first glance. And is there anything more life-giving than the experience of being seen for who we really are, deep down beneath the fragile defenses that we hold up out of our own fears? And the thing is, only when we have been seen in the profoundly loving way of Jesus will we find ourselves able to see others as the beloveds of God. It's when we have been loved right down to the core of who we are that we find the capacity to embrace other people as Jesus embraced every disciple, every sinner, every doubter, and every believer who crossed his path. May we look as Jesus looks. May we want as he wants. May we ever seek the one who always and everywhere seeks us first. And then maybe Epiphany can become more than just a placeholder season and instead become a way of life where we too dare to offer the world around us the invitation to come and see. God love you. Amen.